God states very clearly that faith without works is dead.
You have people inside the Senate. You have people that are supposed to be on your side.
Make the decision to live and die on your terms.
You are not wrong. That Bible was about everything. The border, the elections.
I remember America and the American gun owner are the only things standing in the way of the Great Reset.
Who's got the teaching aid?
We are fighting a war against principalities. We are fighting a war against evil.
I pray that we get to look into the eyes of every single child in this country proudly, that those children can look back and be proud of us, knowing that we fought for them.
Men,
I don't talk with empty words.
Those teaching aids, those are called balls. Gentlemen, I've given you back your balls. You only got one? Improvise.
God's given us a chance to make it right. He's created a remnant for a reason. You are the remnant.
I want you to know we're winning. God is with us. And in the end, we know how this ends.
Welcome back to another episode of Conservative Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Altman.
And I'm Ash Epp. We are living the fallout.
We are absolutely living the fallout. We have a special guest today. For those of you that don't know, yesterday was the primary for Colorado. Now, we watched it pretty closely because Colorado has, there's a lot of states that have people who are against the machines and believe that the election in 2020 was stolen. And they continue these stealings and these election thefts into 2021 and 2022, and they perfected it, and they've ignored all the evidence. And, you know, I had a great opportunity to have some conversations with some journalists last night, and one in particular, as I was talking to her, I said, don't you want your voice to be heard? She goes, yes. And I was like, do you feel like these machines? And I showed her a couple of graphs, because in real time, we had people that were watching the elections. We had watching all of the votes as they came in so that we could understand what issues might be related to the election, that we could see mathematically, we could see from a delivery standpoint. And then we had some amazing things happen last night. We caught them with the same thing. So you need to share this video. You need to share it right now. I'll wait, hit the rumble button, do all the things that are necessary. But this is not one that people need to miss.
Yeah, we want to get everybody in here, and as you said, we have a great guest. We're going to be breaking it all down, what happened in Colorado last night, and really what we're seeing from an election results standpoint, and I use that result, that word loosely, is that this happened across the nation. And when we saw it in Georgia a couple weeks ago, or May 24th, when they did their primary, we've seen that there is a message that they're sending, that you who question elections, you're fringe. And the people aren't with you, and this isn't the results of your, what you want isn't the results that you're going to get. The problem is we know what to look for now.
We do know what to look for. Not only do we know what to look for, but we know where to look. And no matter how many times they tell us that the election is safe and secure, and they use the same dog whistles, they use the misinformation, disinformation, the gold standard, the safest, the most secure election in U.S. history, we know that's not true. So let's go ahead and bring Jeff O'Donnell. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Great to be here again.
Jeff, you were working last night late on this on the primaries in Colorado. And more particularly, we were focused in on Tina Peters' campaign, and we had some things happen. So, number one, we had, and we're gonna share some of this, but we had a insider in the Colorado GOP that there was no released, for the first time I think in 20 years, there was no released polls by the GOP or anyone else on the Secretary of State's race. There was a poll released on Ron Hanks' race, which shows that he was firmly ahead by 5 to 6 points over Joe O'Day. Now why is that important? I think that's important for a couple reasons. One of which is that they did have polls. They just didn't want to release those polls because they were afraid of the outcome. So 2 days ago, Jeff, I got a call from a Colorado insider, Colorado Poll Insider. And I'm sending over a couple of posts to you guys, by the way. You need to blur out the names of these. But Tina was at 47%, right? Between 45 and 47%, right? They said at the latest poll was 47%. Pam Anderson was at 31%. And Mike O'Donnell, of no relation to you.
No relation.
Was at 19%. Now, that's supposed to account for Democrats that unaffiliate, go to the unaffiliate because it's an open primary, so they can manipulate the votes. And we have proof of that actually happening, too. And the people are they switched their affiliation during this so that they could screw up the primary. In other words, get the weakest candidate or manipulate the vote. It should be illegal. We should have closed primaries. If you're not a Republican, you shouldn't be able to vote. But that's not what happens, right? So, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to have you talk through it, and we're going to put up the slides. But I think it's interesting that those percentages, first of all, the percentage for Pam Anderson, who, by the way, stayed in her basement, we called her Basement Anderson, who worked for CTCL, so she worked for Zuckerbucks, and she had no affinity. She wasn't even registering on the Richter scale.
Barely any campaign events, no support or enthusiasm among the voting base. And just if on the Mike O'Donnell front, this guy is completely unknown. And across the state, it's showing that he got more votes than Tina Peters. It's quite stunning.
And in Tina's own area, and in Mesa, she was outvoted 2-1 by Mesa residents, which... If anybody knows anything about Mesa, knows that that's not only improbable, but it's impossible. Mm-hmm. But, Jeff, back to you.
Yes, what you're saying is, absolutely true. I also heard that internal poll. There was also a poll commissioned to a polling company called Victory that the aggregate of all of their research had her winning in the mid-40s, again, percentage. So to go from leading in the polls to a putative third place finish is definitely something that it's obviously suspicious and something that needs looked into. For the first time, I think, I was able to see and also share with everyone else on a site the results as they came in the primary. This is I think, a very useful thing, and now it's going to be available for all future primaries and of course, November. So I want people to know that is that is now a thing. Instead of waiting months, as we often had to after, to get some good analysis after the 2020 election, we can now get it in mere minutes. And I think that's a good thing. And I kind of want the bad guys to know that too, as we have now the ability to watch what's going on at a very, very short time frame. You want me to start going into some of the interesting findings, John?
Yeah, so I want to put up, and Mr. Producer, I don't see, let's start by putting up Tina Peters. And by the way, this is not just the most interesting thing about this race. This proves mathematically, I'm going to ask you, Jeff, mathematically, what the probability is of this happening. But Mr. Producer, we have the entire state. I don't see it in the drive. We have the entire state. For Secretary of State.
It's over to the right.
Can we put that up, please? That's Colorado Springs.
Oh.
Can we put up the entire state? I'm not seeing it in here. I see Denver. I need the analysis, time-stamped analysis for the entire state. I see Kiowa. I see Jefferson. I see I see all those, but I don't see that. Okay, so we'll put that up here in a second. But Jeff, as we start to look at this information, let's go ahead and slide that over if we would. These are the timestamps. Why don't you tell us what we're looking at?
You're looking at every time an update was made to the New York Times site during the night with some sort of an update to the vote totals. Sometimes the updates are the same, and that's sometimes why you see straight lines cross, but more often than not, they are, you know, usually they are increasing. So,
and Jeff, just when you say, when you say that sometimes the updates are the same, you're saying that that update included this roughly the same number of ballots in that, you know, I don't want to say batch because we're not talking about batches per se, but that it's this, when you say they're roughly the same, that means it's roughly the same numbers, and then when we see it jump, it's more? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sometimes there's an update and there's no change in the numbers. So that explains that. So the top line is in blue is at every point where they did an update, what the how many votes Pam Anderson had. The red is Mike O'Donnell, no relation, and the green is Tina Peters. So you can see that that Anderson jumped out to a huge lead in the first. Within the first three updates, every dot is an update. So, and actually you see that that update for Pam Anderson, by the time I got to the third or so, that number, it took a long time for the other candidates to even get to that level and above it. I'll tell you how big that was. So that's what that showed.
So she started out for the first one, the first update, you can see that spike, which was nearly, I mean, the way it looks now, that was nearly 80,000 votes.
Yeah, that looks that looks like, yeah, you can just subtract those two numbers we're showing there. And let's see, they got 124,000, and the one before it was 79. So,
yeah,
so that's... About 60,000, I guess.
All right, so as we look at these curves, what's the probability of these curves happening on all three people with the same increases at the same time, at the same place, at the same timestamp? What's the likelihood of that happening, Jeff?
Well, to see something like happened between the second and the third, it's pretty obvious. Actually, those all three of those were an increase of about one times 1.2, whatever the other vote, whatever the previous had been, that was about 1.2 times it for the next update. While that's not impossible, that is a very hard dice shot in Vegas, really hard to see that. And then any other time that you see a very similar angle on those lines, for instance, if you look at about the numbers at the bottom are Eastern Standard Time, so that would actually subtract two. So like it says 22:04, which would be 8:04 p.m. If you can see, there's another one that looks very very. The increases were.
Now my screen's dead in here. Did you have to reset everything? Wow, this is unbelievable. Okay, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear? You have sound.
Yes.
Okay, so just so you guys all know, we got hit at the studio, and it knocked us offline everywhere. So you see that we had to reset everything. They're going to put me back on screen so that I don't look like I'm this little guy in the corner. reset if you can. Reset if you can. They have sound. They can't hear anything else but sound. Sound only.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Wow. Okay, guys, just hang tight for 1 second. We're trying to fix everything else. They literally don't want this going out.
Oh, Brian says they do this to him and Behizzy all the time. Probably when they're talking about controversial things.
This is not just on Rumble. This is happening across the board in nearly every single platform. Every single platform they did this to us. So they hit us here at the studio. This has happened three other times. All three other times happened exactly when we were talking about this.
Yep. Well, and tell them what happened on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. So just so you guys know, Facebook, if you guys can hear me. If you guys can hear me,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, they can hear you.
It
says they're seeing a picture of the graph, but they can hear us.
Okay. Seeing a picture of the graph, but you can hear us. We're trying to fix the other parts of it. So on Facebook, we put in the words stolen election, right? Another stolen election, I do believe, is what they said. Let me just check it real quick. Election stolen before our eyes. And as they put the election stolen before our eyes, Facebook said, you're not allowed to use the word stolen election. You're not allowed to use the word stolen election.
Yeah.
So they are getting into our systems. This is unbelievable. This is an attack on the First Amendment. This is an attack on the ability to have thought, and to be curious.
Okay, we're back up.
We're back up. Are we back up on the live version as well? Are we back up on?
Rumble's live. It'll be a few seconds for everything else.
Okay, so you guys can hear us. Did we get Jeff back on?
Now on Rumble, they're saying they lost us. Gone again. No sound.
They have to refresh.
You have to
refresh.
Refresh. Refresh on Rumble. Refresh on Rumble. You have to refresh, refresh, refresh. Okay.
Oh, good times.
If you're on the audio version, we got hit at the studio and knocked offline off every one of the channels. Now, somebody just asked why we would go on Facebook. We go on Facebook because there are people, especially older people, that stay on Facebook. And we decided a long time ago that we were gonna broadcast everywhere. I've been asked to syndicate, so we are actually now on FM channels over the air in multiple states. And, you know, I gave them the ability to syndicate the show free of charge because I wanted to get the message out. So they know what's happening as far as how many people we are or are not reaching. And in this case, they literally knocked us offline in the studio. No sound now. And you can't hear us.
Refresh.
Refresh. Refresh for sound.
I have Jeff back. Let me work on his video.
Okay.
So, guys, on this diagram you were being shown, it is impossible. You have a better chance of getting hit on the 40th floor of a building in a traffic accident than you do on this happening in the election.
Those flying cars can be a real
flying
problem,
cars.
Though.
Yeah, flying cars. I mean, yeah. You'd have to. I mean, I don't even know how that could happen. No, guys, we don't have any sound on Rumble.
I mean, yeah, we do. They just need to refresh.
Refresh.
Yeah.
Refresh.
So for those of you in the chat, if you hear people saying they have no sound, can you tell them to refresh?
Thanks. Yeah, hit the refresh button. Okay, so the further we go down this path, we're looking at Colorado. We focused in on Tina Peters' race specifically. We went county by county. I don't want to be the spoiler and tell you what happened in one of the counties, but at midnight in a county, because, you know, one of the, you know, little pundits that thinks that he knows everything about election machines and technology, who really knows nothing about technology, said, oh, how do you explain the fact that Douglas County does not have dominion to what happened? So one of the other counties that does not have dominion. The only other county that does not have dominion at midnight last night, made a correction of over 1,000 ballots that gave Tina the win inside of that county.
In Garfield County. You look at the graph, and when we get everything working again, we'll pull that graph up. It's crazy what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's an absolute flip. It's what happened in DeKalb, right? In DeKalb County, Georgia. It's we made an error, let's correct it, and boom, the race is completely inverted.
Yeah, so we have the information. We have Jeff O'Donnell on the line, and Jeff is going to walk through these graphs from state to state. We also have the information. When I said that there was an insider at the GOP that said, hey, look, you need to know this. There's polling numbers out there. We have polling numbers. That's actually why we wanted the CNN and everyone else to do a hit piece on Tina Peters before the election, is because she had too much of an advantage. She was up by nearly 12 points, 47%. So, Mr. Producer, is Jeff back on?
Yes, he can talk.
Okay, Jeff, you can talk, but they can't see you just yet. But I'm going to read something to you if I can. This is from before the day before the election in one of the groups that I'm in on Signal, and it says, well, I just had a Colorado GOP insider tell me they are hiding the poll data on the Secretary of State race because Tina is ahead by over 12 points. Now, they in Colorado could not afford for any of the quote-unquote election deniers to win the election. They wanted to send a clear message.
Yep.
And last night at the watch party for Tina Peters, they sent the Washington Post, the Associated Press, they sent everyone there hoping that Tina was going to be, you know, consoled, or that it was sending a clear message that the election deniers are really, they don't have any, again, this is more propaganda, that they don't have any momentum. We do have momentum, a lot of it. And more people are waking up every day.
Yeah, it's a counter narrative, right? There's an article in The Hill today talking about this race. Anderson wins Colorado GOP Secretary of State nomination in rejection of Trump election claims.
Yeah, it's not true. They stole the election. I'm going to show you they stole the election. And then last night, it literally went like wildfire all over the internet. Yeah. Like wildfire.
Yeah.
It's actually worse than that, though. It's worse than that. Because we have races all over the state that they stole that are directly related to, I'm talking percentages that you could not have.
Yeah, in that same article, I just want to read this one little blurb. Anderson's win, however, suggests that even Republican voters in Colorado may be ready to move on from Trump's efforts to relitigate and question the 2020 election.
No. No. Yeah. See, this is all the narrative and the propaganda. They're trying to lie to you. They're trying to lie to you, and they've been lying to you about everything. They lie to you about everything. And they come up with a narrative, and they sit in a back room in a war room, and they're like, we got to stop them. We got to stop them from having a voice. We got to stop them from talking about the obvious. We got to stop them from talking about evidence. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is that we don't trust these machines. And even the Associated Press or whatever that woman is said, yeah, you know, I thought we went back to paper ballots and then we got away from machines and we went back to the machines. You can't win with machines. Yeah. It's impossible to win with machines because they manipulate them.
And we don't, it's not just that we don't trust the machines. We don't trust anybody in the establishment who is fighting to keep the machines and keep the status quo, because you've showed your hand now. You've shown it.
Okay.
You're out there and exposed.
So let's go ahead and put this graph back up if we can. Jeff, why don't you explain what this graph is? Mr. Producer, if you can put the graph behind us, it'd be great. But I'm going to really quickly do an ad read. So this podcast brought to you by Air Medcare Network. If you're in a rural area, it's hard to reach. Or if you like to hike, or you frankly, if you spend a lot of time on the road, health insurance won't always cover you at the cost of an emergency medical flight. God forbid it ever happened to you. But with Air Medcare Network, you're covered. For as little as $85 a year, your whole household will be covered. There are no deductibles in case you ever need to be air medically transported. There's also a secondary one that if you are in a different state, they can fly you back to the state so you don't have as heavy a burden on your family getting to you. So if you use promo code DAILY and you go to airmedcarenetwork.com/daily and use promo code DAILY, you'll receive up to a $50 e-gift card when you sign up today. I've been a member for the last year and a half. So go to airmedcarenetwork.com/daily and use promo code DAILY. Okay, you doing the whole results? All right. So, by the way, this is it's an analytical graph, right? From Cast yes. Vote Records. Make it big.
This is from the Edison. This is from the Edison New York Times results as they were updated last night, you know, during the election period. So I'm not sure where I was when the nuke struck, but but yes, I mean this one you know, it shows the overall for the state, and it does show that most of the, if not all of the margin between Anderson and really the other two, both the other two candidates, was established by the, I'm a little trouble reading because I've not seen a really good copy of this, but after that first plateau, at that point, you know, most of the margin between them was established already. And the rest of it went on. I point that out because of something that you're going to see you know, next. So, you know, what you pointed out about the sort of parallel increases, as I call them, and, you know, it is something that is very, very, very strange. But we've got worse. So if we need to move on, we'll move on to worse.
Okay, what's our worst? What's the next thing that we're?
Well, let's look at Garfield County.
Garfield County uses clear ballot voting systems. One of the two counties in Colorado.
Okay, so this is we're going to go to Garfield County, and we had talked about this before, Republican for the Secretary of State. And this is going to be really interesting. Everyone pay attention to this. This is not just interesting. This just shows you again how they go in and make corrections. Again, it should be really easy. Your job is to do one thing. You only have one job, right? Jeff, one job?
That would be it, yes. Count the votes.
Yeah. What are we waiting on here, guys? Here we go, Republican.
Wait for it to load. By the way, Jeff, well done on this tool you built. This draws a bot. I love this. This is amazing.
Thank you. Wait till you see what's coming next.
I can't wait. You and Draws are a formidable team.
So the tool itself. Now this is unbelievable. By the way, yeah. Go ahead and tell us what just happened here. What we're looking at.
Okay, so what you see here is the election started out with a fairly huge, you know, large increase or advantage for Anderson, with actually Tina in second place in blue and O'Donnell, no relation, in red. And you'll see it shows the same, you know, the increases are very similar in terms of how they go. But then, about between 11:30 and midnight, suddenly they took away 731 or so votes from Anderson and gave another 400 and some to Tina, which actually put her in the lead by a very large margin in that count. So the blue at the end there, that's Tina's updates at that point. So I don't even know what to say about that, because I know that there are people trying to, you know, contact the county to see what's going on, if they're aware what the reason is. But they'd be very, very interested to know what the reason was that this happened in this county.
Well, let's look at something really quick that I think is interesting. As the votes came in, if you look at Peters, O'Donnell, and Anderson, I want to note something. And this is what we thought when we looked at the total numbers, when I talked about 47%, 31%, and 19%. And that was taking into account Democrats that obfuscated, went into the independents in order to be able to influence the election, which should be illegal. We should have closed elections, period. Closed primaries. Because it's meant to give somebody an advantage to steal from us. But the vote count for total for Pam Anderson was 44% for her, 26% for Tina, and 29% for Mike O'Donnell. Those are the exact flipped opposites. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because on the other graph, Peters was in green, Anderson was in blue, and O'Donnell was in red. You realize that, right? The colors?
There's a color swap here. The colors are the colors are by their final, you know, their final position. That's they're not by candidates, right. So that's right. why they changed.
I didn't write.
But what you're saying is absolutely true. After whatever happened at 11:30. All of a sudden, O'Donnell had the previous vote total that Tina had. Anderson had the previous vote total that O'Donnell had, and no relation. And Tina had what Anderson had. So it is a three-way flip, which is I've never seen anything like this before. So
guys, hit the share button everywhere you are. Hit the share button. This what we're telling you is that this is the numbers coming in. This is the numbers coming in from Edison. This is coming in from their information. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, approximately. And if you still look at it, Stairstep, they use clear ballot. Oh, clear ballot safe. No machine is safe.
Yeah.
No machine is safe. Same Stairstep on everything all the way up. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, the votes flip. The votes flip, and Tina has the exact number of votes that Anderson had. Mike has the exact number of votes that Tina had. And then Pam Anderson, who was not the favorite anywhere, other than Democrats going and basically going and becoming unaffiliated so they could vote for her. They were not. And by the way, it doesn't matter to them if it's Pam Anderson or Jenna Griswold. They're both establishment. Pam Anderson works for CTCL still. She's on leave, which is Mark Zuckerberg's fund that basically buys elections and steals elections, steals your voice. So I got one more that I have to read, which is IPVanish. IPVanish helps with safely browsing the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IPVanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use IPVanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even the physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes it virtually impossible for them to find you online. If you use IPVanish on limited devices, you can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computer, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick. Is guaranteed at an incredible 70% off your yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee, just like getting 9 months for free. So IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button. You're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today and brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trusted Pilot. Go to IPVanish.com/daily. Use the promo code daily and claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/daily. Explain to me how this happened, Jeff. I know you're not going to say it the same way I would, because you know you're more introspective on this. But what's the probability of this, Jeff?
Well, a mistake was made somewhere by someone, those of you who have been following Colorado and Mesa County, I think we'll get this. I've invented a term for this phenomenon. I'm going to call it vote drift. The votes, they drifted, you know, from one position to another there.
From one candidate to another.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what you have here is vote drift, you know, like time drift that happened here. And let me put it this way. The optics... Because, you know, the other side of people are always talking about optics. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that because the optics are terrible. I don't think there's any worse optics I have ever seen in my life looking at anything about an election. Because it looks like, we're waiting to find out. I'm hoping we will find out what happened. But it looks very much like that it was counting the votes for the wrong candidates the whole time. Somebody realized it. And fixed. That's what it looks like. We'll find out.
That could have happened through the entire line for Tina? That would make sense because it would align with the votes that Tina would have been the elected official. And how does that affect what happens with Ron Hanks? How does that affect down card? How does it affect what happened in El Paso County where Ray Ann Weber got exactly 30% of the vote to 70% of the vote for the other candidate? It's crazy. And by the way, El Paso County, their vote records, everyone else did it through Clarity, right? Do you know what El Paso County used in order to record votes for each candidate in El Paso County? Google Drive. Google Drive does not have an API. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not have an API. You don't have an API in a Google Drive. Do you, Jeff? Does it exist?
Oh my gosh. I had not heard that before, but so is this the safest, most secure election, or was 2020? Now I'm not sure.
Well, we have to define what safest and most secure election means. So, Jeff, you said earlier a mistake was made by someone somewhere. What I have to ask is, do we think in Garfield County that a mistake was made, or do we think in Garfield County they probably did something honest?
There are many possibilities, and I do try to be to err on the side of fairness. But wow, this looks really bad. It looks like somebody, again, we will need to get information from that county to know for sure. But I just go back to what I said. It looks very much like they were counting the the votes for the wrong candidate. Which is funny because I was contacted by numerous people in Colorado last night who made that statement even before this happened. They said, it looks like they're just flipping they told me, it looks like they're just flipping the votes because the percentages look right, but the candidates look wrong. Yeah.
And that's not just us, by the way. The leftist Colorado polls put out predictions on all of these campaigns, and the results are completely inverted to everyone's predictions. I was talking to some leftists yesterday who were predicting, you know, the top line candidates were going to win across the board and then get crushed in November, right? That's what they thought. Nobody expected this, and it's a complete inversion of what we would expect to see based on early polling, based on candidate enthusiasm, based on turnout for events, all of the things that would indicate, you know, broad support for candidates. It's inverted. We saw none of that with Anderson.
Yeah. So let's do this. There's a Colorado polls one that I just put up under the six files, the third file in, Mr. Producer, if you'll put that up. That will show at the very top. This was ColoradoPolls.com that had Jenna Griswold winning by 70%, and the percentages and likelihood based on influence winning the primaries, or excuse me, winning the election, 40%, 20%, 15%. Showing McDonald going up, Pam Anderson going down, and Tina staying steady. This shows, and by the way, the polls, the inner polls for the GOP, having conversations with them, I was asked last night, Joe, how did you know that we actually ran polls? And I go, you have insiders that, and she goes, of course you do. Mm-hmm. And I go, people are sick of it. They're sick of a corrupt GOP. Yep. They're sick of it.
And the GOP keeps doubling down.
And the GOP,
right, and this
down.
Source here that's up on the screen, obviously not, you know, a biased source for us. The top line candidates are called the big line here in this, right? Yeah. And even their predictions are inverted. Nobody saw this. Nobody expected this. This is a complete diversion from what we would expect to see in this election.
No one expects vote drift.
No.
So listen, this is, and again, they use the words the big lie. They use all these things. Yeah. But the reality of it is they're lying. Mr. Producer, if you could do me a favor and put up the first one that I put up, the first picture that I put up, this is going to be the first photo. This is, by the way, no, don't make it too big because I want to see the top line. This is, if you were to go, I want to see the very top so I can see that. See where it says, Jeff? Drive.google.com. That's the file that they shared on El Paso County's election site. That's how they recorded the vote. And they did the summary based on a PDF document. A PDF document. Not using Clarity, not using Edison data, not using anything. They used a PDF document on Google Drive, mm-hmm, that they just updated.
Now this, I don't know, but in the November 21 municipal elections, the results between Colorado Springs, El Paso County, this county that we're talking about,
right,
and the Secretary of State were different. They didn't match. There was a,
right,
whole big thing. We got all the Quora requests. They ended up, and one of the biggest lines that came out of that was, don't worry about it. We'll just manually update them, right?
Okay, but here's my problem. Chuck Borman got on a Washington Post article, which we're going to break down this week, and he said that I didn't understand technology. Jeff, we've spent a lot of time together.
Has there ever been a time that you thought maybe that I didn't know what I was talking about, that maybe the election, I didn't understand, that this is too complicated for me?
That thought never occurred to me, talking to you, no.
Well, vote drift is a complicated topic.
Vote drift is a complicated
topic. Vote drift is, you know, I mean, rule number one of vote drift is no, you don't talk about vote drift.
You don't talk about vote drift.
So we're breaking rule number one and number two, which is also don't, no one talks about vote drift.
No one talks about vote drift.
So guys, this the reason why this is so important is this right here is the information coming out of a county in Colorado that is not Dominion Voting Systems. It's not Dominion Voting Systems. This right here is Clear Ballot.
So I'm really excited to have found this bank, Axos Bank. They opened on Independence Day in 2000. They're not crumbling brick and mortar. They're a fully digital bank built on the bedrock of American traditions. Take a look at the rewards checking account where you can earn their highest interest rate. It's a big one. Listeners can get $150 bonus when you open up an account by July 31st. Big rewards from banks that believe that the freedom to do business without compromise are values. Amazing, right? So go to axosbank.com/daily for full details. That's axos.com/daily for all the cash bonus. All you need is $1,500 direct deposit within the first 3 months of opening your reward checking account. Axos Bank is federally insured, member FDIC, and they're for us, all of us. axosbank.com/daily. Go check them out.
Yep.
So you can manipulate any numbers because of the way that the system goes through that series. It goes from the machines to Seidel to Edison to the New York Times, right? That's the line. And there's black boxes in between that.
And I mean, if this, I think that any reasonable person would look at this and say, wow, you better do a hand recount of every single ballot. And there aren't many in this county. It wouldn't even be that hard to do.
Right.
So if this doesn't trigger some sort of automatic official hand recount, I don't know what will. But what I'm more interested in is the reason that this happened, because we don't see this in any other county, and I've looked at every single one. We don't. Interestingly enough, in this county, the Senate and governor races do not show this phenomenon. But I think that once you've seen this, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. And however this happened, we've got to make sure that this didn't happen in other counties as well.
So, Jeff, I think that I think you're one of the experts at anticipating what elected officials who don't know what they're talking about are going to say about this kind of stuff. What do you anticipate that we're going to hear from the elected officials in charge about what this is showing us? What is a possible explanation that they're going to give us?
They're going to first say, human error. Just like they did in Mesa 2020. Oh, had to be human error.
Yeah.
That's going to need a very good explanation how that was human error. The second would be when that fails, it will be, well, I mean, this is data on the New York Times and Edison. This isn't our data. Mm-hmm. And they'll try to say that they never sent the earlier ones that you see before that crop, before the vote drift. So those are the two things they're going to come back at. But based on this, there should be an extremely high burden of proof on Garfield County as to what, you know, what exactly caused this. We've had lots of issues with Edison reporting data in 2020, a lot of which I've documented myself, and others have done the same. But this is something different. We didn't see anything. We saw a lot of horror in 2020. You all know that. And this is another new kind of horror that didn't, you know, there's nothing like it in 2020 in any of that data. And it is chilling. And I don't mean to make light of this. The fact that those votes ended up at the same levels, but a three-way vote trip, looks bad. You say it looks really bad.
Well, I mean, you're not an elections expert, so what do you know?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just the son of a steel worker from Western Pennsylvania, but you know, we get by. The thing that really gets me about this too is that it points to the necessity for transparency that I'm beating the drum for all the time. A cast vote record, which I think you discussed before on this thing, just the list of the ballots and the order they came in and what the votes were on them, would clear this up really quick. But of course, to get such a thing, you've got to, you know, in Colorado, most counties won't give it up, even from your core requests. So there, this information, and I've been saying all along, people say, well, why should all this information, you know, be public? Why should it be immediate? It's just because if you want to get the any semblance of trust in our elections back, and it's broken, it's shattered. If you want to get any of it back, you need to enable the citizens to be able to do their own check of every election. The ones that feel led to do it, the ones that feel that they want to do it. That is the only way that you know this is going to go on. And then this happens. What we, you know, that graph you just saw. And it emphasizes the point even more that we need all this stuff to be transparent.
So I just got a text message from someone who said, and I'm not going to tell you where it is because this is pretty interesting in that they're planning a hand count in a few counties. So they're already planning to have a hand count. Because several of the county clerks don't trust the results. They almost feel like it's Tina Peters' time.
So here's what I think we're going to see with this, though. And, right, we covered on this show extensively Senate Bill 22-153 in Colorado. And why are they forcing it through so hard? And what is this doing? That bill has been signed into law, went into effect immediately, and it significantly restricts our ability, the county ability, to challenge, to question, to validate what we saw happen. And I think it's becoming clear why they push so hard to force that legislation through, because they plan on using it.
Well, they plan on using it, but here's where it gets interesting, Jeff, is that the data that we have now, based on the flipping from Tina Peters to Pam Anderson, the data we have on the polls, which showed that Tina got the 45% to 47%, that Pam was supposed to get 31%, and Jeff, or excuse me, Jeff, Mike O'Donnell was supposed to get 19%.
No relation.
You know, we have internal polls that we ran just to figure out, and we have obviously the polls that were done on the East Coast that showed the same sort of margins for Tina. It lines up with the election results if Tina was the top candidate. And by the way, it goes against everything, everything for people to, you know, there's a certain percentage that people will give to the top line because it's the top line. It's just known that top line is going to give the top line. Top line, top person is going to get it.
And that's the top line is the people who qualified through assembly, the candidates who went through the process and were vetted by the people and were put on the ballot at the top of the ticket.
Right.
And none of them in Colorado won. Nobody who went through the assembly and got the support of the people, contested races, right? There's candidates that are running uncontested that were at assembly. But none of them won. It's a message. And that goes all the way down ticket. Right, it goes all the way down. El Paso County is the most egregious. El Paso County is on fire. They have an incredible ground game. They have energy and enthusiasm, and they're out every single day doing the work of campaigning for their candidates, and none of them won their primaries.
And that they're trying to make a narrative that it's because people trust the elections now.
Yeah.
People don't trust the elections. It's worse now than it's ever been. So this morning, coming in, I had a guy that was fixing some stuff at the house, said, hey, what do you do? And I told him. And he goes, I did not feel good going to bed last night because I voted for everyone that... This is a guy that would not normally say anything. Pulls up in a truck. He's there to fix something. And he said, look, I'm super angry about what happened in the election because I know that they stole the primary. I know they did. I talked to my neighbor. I talked to my other neighbor. All my neighbors voted for Tina. Tina Peters was the number one person that everyone said. Everyone said, look, if it's not true, then we get in there and we actually replace everything with paper ballots. We push everything aside. We do everything we can to secure and make it transparent for the American people, for the people in Colorado. She was their best bet for that happening. And his neighbors are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And they said yes. No, sorry. One's a Democrat, couldn't vote. The other one was an independent that did vote and voted for Tina. And said, look, I just want to know the truth.
Yep.
Get to the bottom of it. But every candidate in Colorado that stood up for election integrity didn't even get the second line, where all of the polls showed 10 to, you know, I mean, look at the polls for the polls for Ron Hanks. He was up 10%.
Yeah.
And a 20 point swing in that election, and he lost by 5%. It's not possible.
Yeah, it's campaigning from the basement again. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I think you have a slide there from that race. Ron's race.
Ron Hanks race. Okay, let's take a look at that. Why don't you just go back in the system, if we would, and we'll just pull it from that. We'll pull Ron's
That's
race
fine.
As well. You know, they want to say that these increases are normalized. They're normal to actually go in ratios of each one of the candidates. It's not normal.
I mean, I agree with you. It's not what you expect to see. It is not. And as you know, they control the narrative on what's normal and what isn't right now, fortunately.
And their explanation for why we see the same pattern, right? I mean, you see the votes increasing at the same pattern regardless of which candidates, which race. We're seeing that in all of these competitive races in Colorado, particularly statewide ones, which we're talking about. Their narrative is, oh, yeah, that's just how results look when they come in. Right? I mean, that's what they're telling us, is it's completely normal for at the time intervals to have the exact same ratio of votes coming in.
Yeah, same ratio. This is unbelievable.
Well, let me speak to that for this. This is the race that the Senate race that you discussed. And what I want you to notice on this is the gap, the size of the gap between the blue, which was is it O'Day? I'm not sure how to pronounce it, and Hanks. You will see that it's remarkably the same throughout. Once you pretty much get started, that gap remains the same. And let me tell you what that means. If you have that gap remaining the same, it means that the same percentages are coming in for both candidates. You're getting basically, it's really what you're telling you is it's 50-50 coming in from that point. So if it's largely the same throughout, where did O'Day get that lead? And if you look at the very left-hand side, right behind Joe's head, you will see that
same as Pam.
It was in, again, the first three updates that they made that established the lead. And that lead stayed remarkably the same and consistent throughout. So what you have here is you have your first three, a little less than half of the all the votes that would be ever be cast on this. You have that lead established there, and then we're supposed to believe that it was from then on pretty much a 50-50 race throughout the entire rest of the thing. This is the same kind of nonsense that we see in a lot of 2020 races.
This is 50-50 where the higher number started out, and that higher number, and the higher number, by the way, when it was front-loaded, that higher number that came in immediately is the same ratio that stayed throughout the entire deal. Same one.
Yes, and I mean, just ask yourself, would you expect, no matter how they count, what order they count these, no matter what, would you expect? You know, let's say that is halfway through. It's actually less than through, but let's say it's halfway through. Would you expect in a state the size of Colorado that it would just naturally the first half of the people that would be have their votes counted would be that much for O'Day, and then the rest of the time they're all just basically 50-50? You are a smart math guy, Joe. I think you can probably agree that just does not make sense that's how the order of the votes would come out.
Well, and I feel like there are, you know, people looking at this and thinking, okay, so statistically they're saying the pattern doesn't match. The reason that this is egregious is because these charts are indicative of human behavior. These charts are indicative of voting, right? Which is not a controlled system. It should be random. And we should be seeing, you know, O'Day and Hank's ballots come in at different intervals all over the place. But we don't. We see human behavior in a chart that looks like a controlled system because it is.
So here's what you need to understand, and here's their argument on their side, is that we only do batch uploads at certain times, and so that's why it goes up at both times, right? I can get that. Yeah. I can dig that. That works. But people don't vote in the same, those batches don't come in the same intervals. In other words, we don't vote at the same time. We don't go to the bathroom at the same time. We don't do things at the same time. So when those batches come in, you hypothetically could have 1,000 ballots that come in because people, as you count ballots, you count them differently. So people that come in, when those ballots come in for, let's say, that are day of, those ballots are going to look different because the characteristics of those people are different than they would for the mail-in ballots. Because mail-in ballots can be manipulated because you have no sort of chain of custody. None. Right. Zero.
And I think that those three reportings at the very beginning where we see those big jumps, my hypothesis, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this, but that would largely be mail-in ballots because those come in early. Mail-in ballots and early voting, right?
But the ratios that occur within that environment, that is impossible.
Impossible.
I mean, look, Jeff, I will not use improbable. I will not use the word improbable because improbable would be if it happened in one interval or two intervals. But you're talking about every single interval. Every single interval, without question, every single interval shows.
Forget the big jumps, right? Look at the little ones. I think that's more telling. Look at 2259 to 2304. You've got these tiny little bumps that are identical. They're identical.
Yeah. Let me paint a picture for what you'd have to believe almost to believe this, and that's that outside all the polling places, if you were going to vote for Hanks, you had to wait for somebody to come that was going to vote for O'Day, and you linked arms and walked in and both voted at the same time.
Right.
And that would happen the whole way through. to get this sort of a very
In every batch, in every reporting interval, and...
All right, Jeff, we're seeing this again. It's not just this one. You know, I don't know if we have... Do we go all the way down inside this system? Do we have this all the way down to, like, county coroners races in El Paso County? Is it in there?
I haven't looked at all those.
You
asked Jeff.
Yeah, it would be in there. Let's see if we can find it. Take it down for a second, because I got some questions for Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You drive. It's your show, bro.
I think it would be indicative, and would make a point, and wouldn't take much time, if you put that governor page back up, and then switch it to the Senate race.
Oh wow!
I don't even think I'll have to annotate.
Oh, that's really something.
So that's the governor.
No, that's a senator. That's a Senate race.
Yeah, they're pretty
Bring out the other one. I'm sorry.
Let's see if we can.
Identical. That's for Garfield. That's our X plot. Yeah, for the whole county or for the whole state.
All COR governor and all COR senate. Yeah.
Make go for all.
Go to all.
Yeah. There you go.
That's it for part one of our explosive election fraud episode after the primary that just robbed the American people once again. Part two's coming up next. Don't miss it. God bless America.